You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Edition. Yeah, the traveling thing screwed my weeks up. Having no weekends screwed my days up, too. So, like, if you can't tell, I'm struggling a little bit with the days of the week. But anyway, whatever day it is, good morning to you. It's Thursday, by the way, just for the record. All Saints Day for all you, certainly for all you Catholics. And I'm not sure if Christians observe, like, these kind of things like Catholics do. Like I said, we have a lot of structure in the Catholic religion. All Saints Day, also known as All Hallows Day, the Feast of All Saints, or the Solemnity of All Saints, is a Christian-based festival celebrated in honor of all the saints, known and unknown. Yeah, and you know who leads the saints. Don't say Drew Brees either. Okay, you know who leads the saints. Yeah, that would be Saint Michael the Archangel. So today we salute St. Michael the Archangel. He is an archangel in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. A man for all seasons. In Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Anglican, and Lutheran traditions, he is called St. Michael the Archangel. And St. Michael, in the Oriental Orthodox and Eastern Orthodox religion, he is called Michael the Taxiarch, Taxiarch. Yeah, there's a little bit of trivia for you. If you want to just say thank you to your patron saint, I'm not sure if he's really looking out for you or not, but you never know. One never knows. Movie made about Michael, starring, of all people, John Travolta. There's a pretty good bar scene when John Travolta's dancing and they have a big fight. That's pretty good. And he takes on everybody. Yeah, the movie's called Michael. So, Halloween last night, All Hallows Eve, right? And then tomorrow is the Feast of All Souls. So today, All Saints Day was known as All Hallows Day. So All Hallows Eve, Halloween, you can see it, how it all runs together, right? So we had a whole bunch of trick-or-treaters last night. Very cool. We had an issue with candy distribution. My daughter, Catherine, not too savvy, in spite of hearing tales of running out of candy. So what does Catherine do? She's so excited. Little kid's coming up. They're cute. Just dumps a bowl of candy in all over the place. Her portion control is not what it needed to be at the start of the evening. As a result, had to shut the lights off, had to go dark at 8 p.m. or 2000 to all you police explorers out there. There you go. And I was not happy about it either. I was like, what? And candy's not cheap, right? What, $10 a bag for one of those big bags of candies? You look at it and you're like, all right, well, how many kids are going to come? Give everybody one thing. Right, here's two bags, and I'll throw a third bag in just to be sure. I look at the bowl. We're not even at 7 o'clock yet. And I look at Catherine. I said, what are you doing? She said, whoa. I said, that thing was brimming over the top. Yeah. So I said, she said, well, you didn't know, you did this 2 years ago or something. I said, I know, but you heard that lesson and you didn't take that to heart? She said, no. I was too excited because they're cute. I said, okay, that's not what we're looking for here in candy distribution. She said, well, isn't it your fault for not instructing me? I said, okay. All right, I thought when you're 25, maybe you would have learned this lesson, but you know what? Everybody got to learn it once. So, but you know, kids are cute. You know what's changed, though, since I was a kid? You know, parents dress up now. Everybody got to get in a Halloween costume. Not so much me, mind you, but everybody else. Yeah, pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. So the kids come up to the door, and then you see the parents out there standing on the sidewalk dressed in their costumes. Hey, you guys look great. What are you supposed to be? So anyhow, it's the Feast of All Saints today. Yeah, we had a school in Sacramento called All Hallows. Yeah, they had pretty good sports teams when I was a kid. So we used to play them. We used to play them. So anyway, good morning to you. Can the election come soon enough? Please, I wish it was yet tomorrow. Get this thing over with. I'm so sick of the craziness that overtakes the United States when we get close to elections. It's just like, make it stop. All right? Make it stop. So, but it won't. It won't. So, the odds are the Republicans will hold the Senate, the House. At least all the polls I've seen indicate that the House will be lost to the Democrats. So what that will give us is an interesting question to see if Nancy Pelosi will become the Speaker of the House, how that's going to work. That will be interesting. And then what happens? So now the Democrats control all the committees, control all the investigations, control all of that. We can hardly wait, right? So, yeah. So, get on out there and vote. That's coming up. I listened to, if you missed it yesterday, shame on you, but if you did, if you go to the Almarine Radio website, there is a podcast that is mandatory listening. Right. And you know what that means when it's mandatory listening? That means it's mandatory listening. The Secretary of Defense spent some time at the U.S. Institute of Peace. And it's not, the U.S. Institute of Peace is not what you would think. Yeah. They don't have the Coke song playing in the foyer. I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Yeah, that, all that. It studies issues, complex issues, and looks for solutions.
To buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle dove. I like to teach the world to sing. Sing with me.
You know, if this, if that song was more attuned to, like, the real world, it would have some kind of explosion in the background. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Yeah, it ain't that way. Sorry, pumpkins.
But we really want it to be that way. Maybe if we just hold hands and hang out at the Peace Institute, it will all be good.
Yeah, it ain't that way. So, anyway. So, if you missed it, by all means, watch it. He covers the United States relationships with a variety of countries, and as very few people can, he does it. And talks about his trips just in the last month. Holy shit, man. Guy's all over the place. Yeah, I think our Secretary of Defense should be single or divorced. Mattis is single. He goes all over the place. But I think, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. But if you, on a serious note, if you missed it, talk about it. What he does, I think, that's very interesting, is he talks about what Russia wants and what China wants. He says Russia wants to have a vote in the economic existence of the nations that surround it, and they want to keep them in a relative state of turmoil because what they essentially what they see is stability will embolden them to become a stronger part of NATO, and they don't want that. So by keeping things unsettled in the Baltics, in the Ukraine, and any place else that seeks to distance itself with the former Soviet Union, now Russia, will get what those countries get, just this constant stream of irregular attacks, keeping them unsettled enough that they never really, and so what are they going to do, attack Russia? So it's kind of stupid. So, but anyway, he talks about that. But he talks about issues that the country has in terms of power, in terms of urgency, and what was the other one? And in terms of potential. So in terms of power, Russia is number one. In terms of urgency, you have ISIS and you have North Korea. And in terms of, I think he didn't use the word potential, but I will. In terms of potential, he cited China. So yeah, it's fascinating discussion from him as he goes around the world and talks about, you know, what the United States is up to. And so, again, that's why it's mandatory listening. The other thing I'll tell you is that there's the thing on the website called World War II Marines, Lieutenant Colonel Art Anzac. And I played that yesterday. Marine Raider, And then he got banged up as a Raider, and they put him in an MP company. And the MP companies would move behind the frontline companies as they went ashore. So he fought on Guam and Okinawa. So pretty interesting to hear his comments about the Marine Corps. He was in the Marine Corps before the war started, and so you'll hear about that. And then today you'll hear another guy from the 4th Marine Regiment. He is Warren Jorgensen. And this is an interview that Kevin Norton himself did, so former CEO of the 4th Marine Regiment. So you'll hear that today. So very, very cool stuff. Very, very cool stuff. And all recent. So I love playing that stuff. The email. Mac, I thought his comments about Afghanistan were pretty interesting. I'm looking forward to your comments this morning about Afghanistan. You know what? Why don't we start the program and then we'll go to Afghanistan? Okay. I focused on, with the exception of asking people I know about Afghanistan, I focused on the Marine Corps Marathon when I was in Washington, D.C., and post-traumatic winning. So, yeah, if anybody knows anybody in the vicinity of Mankato, Minnesota, I speak there a week from tonight about the concept of post-traumatic winning and living with trauma, living the life you want to live. So if you know anybody up there, or if you live up there, let them know. I'd love to meet them and tell them to come by. If you're looking for a speaker that you want to talk to a broad audience, living with trauma and the exportation of what we as Marines have learned in lifetimes of helping others live with trauma, what we've learned about it, then you know where to find me. So we'll talk about Afghanistan. We'll go there. And but I did that. So with the exception of post-traumatic winning and the Marine Corps Marathon, the only question I asked was about Afghanistan. And my going-in proposition was this, and I'm proud of this, okay? Well, I'll tell you why I'm proud of it later. But my going-in proposition was, what if a victory, and I don't even like to use that word, what if winning in Afghanistan is merely denying it as a safe haven, as a base of operations, for the Taliban? What if that is the most that can be achieved? And if that's the most that can be achieved, and we're doing it in an efficient way in terms of money and human life, I know it's kind of un-American to look at that as winning, but in the relative context of that situation, knowing there will be no military victory, that the problem's much broader than that, is that as good as it gets? And if that's as good as it gets and we can do it efficiently, is that not a good thing? Okay, so that was my going-in proposition. As I've heard other people talk and tell me, Afghanistan, we've lost the war in Afghanistan, we need to leave, blah, 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 blah. So I've heard that. So I'll share you my thoughts and then what I learned. So, good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps Band makes it official. We'll be right back. to all those trick-or-treaters out there. Hopefully everybody had a safe night and a fun night on a time-honored tradition. And let me tell you, there is nothing cuter than little kids rolling around in the costume, yelling trick-or-treat, and then asking you about whatever. Hi! And then when you put the bowl near them and they grab one, and then they kind of look, and then they grab two, that shit is funny. So this is dedicated to a time-honored American tradition, and all the cute little kids, right, that show up at your doorstep. And to all you older kids, come on, man, knock it off. You don't need candy. Go buy, get a part-time job and buy some candy, for God's sake.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. Yeah, it's PTSD. It's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make a jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran, but, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You gotta win.
Time to check the weather. Currently it's cloudy and 61 in Quantico, Virginia. Cloudy and 71 at Camp Lejeune. sun and 51 in Granbury, Texas. Clouds and 46 in Camp Pendleton. Sunny and 55 in 29 Palms. Dark, cloudy and 70 in Okinawa. No mention of precipitation. Sunny, clear, and 75 in Al-Anbar province in Iraq. Clear, dark, and 60 in the Helmand province of Afghanistan and at the home of All-Marine Radio. Sunny and 56 degrees right now. Looking for a high of 80 today, 82 tomorrow, and 80 on Saturday. Whoa. Got cold overnight, though. Yeah, I don't know what cold is, but it feels cold. All right, we'll take a break. We'll go back. We're going to talk about Afghanistan, how Afghanistan makes sense. So whatever you do, you don't want to miss that. So don't touch that dial. More Ballmarine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All-Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it, the McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All-Marine Radio, on the All-Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at AllMarineRadio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good,
but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made. Of this heartbreak, I'm gonna drive fast.
Peyton Davis.
Break down in nowhere so I can find me. Cry these tears when I reach there. I scream. Yeah, I'll let it all out. But right now,
Afghanistan, 7:33, at the top of the hour, you'll hear Warren Jorgensen, veteran of the 4th Marine Division, 4th Marine Regiment, World War II. So you'll hear him in his own words in an interview that the former regimental commander of 4th Marine Regiment did with him. So love that stuff. That'll be cool. All right, let me walk you through what I learned. Okay, so I asked a variety of people, can you make it make sense for me? And and they did. Okay, so when we look at Afghanistan, if you assume they're not stupid, okay, and not everybody does, but if you assume that, and I always do, I've always found that especially relative to decision-making, that if you assume that, and you say, okay, if you assume that they're not stupid, if you assume that they know things that I don't know, and if I knew those things, I would probably do the same thing that, or close to it, that they would do. I think that's always a good place to start. Okay. And the fact that I know the people involved in this makes me kind of lean more so that way. I don't believe that if they didn't think that there was valid reasons to be there and that America didn't have a compelling interest to be there, they would not be afraid to stand up and say that. So let me tell you what I learned. Okay, first thing is broaden your lens. All right, instead of just winning and losing in Afghanistan, all right, look at the region. Okay, next to Afghanistan, you have a nuclear nation in Pakistan. Okay. Then you have Afghanistan and you have Iran. We need a presence in the region. Okay, we don't need to be shut out of the region. So if you look at that, where is that going to be? Where is that presence going to be? Yeah, exactly. Look around. Put a dart. Someplace. Where is that going to be? So, you're kind of left with Afghanistan if you're going to have a presence in that region. Okay. Do we have strategic interests in that region? Yes, we do. Okay. So, we have a strategic interest in that area. Specifically relative to, Afghanistan, the next piece is, all right, so we do have a strategic interest there. We have a specific interest in not allowing it to go back to somebody who would use it as a harbor to export possibly to the United States and around the world, all the things that we saw on September 11th. All right, and with ISIS now in the mix in Afghanistan. Okay, so that's kind of the broader lens. Do we have an interest there? Answer to that is yes, absolutely. Okay, then you talk to the intel people. What would happen if we chose to walk away from Afghanistan? Well, the Taliban would take over the country in time. Much easier to destroy something than to build something. So they would, and then Afghanistan would revert back to what it's been historically, which is city-states ruled by powerful regional, call them warlords, call them strongmen. Strongmen would be a better word, all right? Next thing is, in that environment, it's not a great leap to see Pakistan being destabilized by the same elements. Pakistan destabilized, ultimately overthrown by a Taliban-esque like government that now has nuclear weapons, which would certainly draw us back to the region. So you're looking at Afghanistan that would go back to pre-9/11 days, and then possibly the exportation of that to Pakistan and the destabilization of Pakistan with its nuclear arsenal. So you can see that you don't have to be a strategic Mensa to see that, okay, there's a compelling case that we're there strategically. The next question is, can we do it efficiently in terms of money, and can we do it efficiently in terms of loss of human life? And so that's where the United States is now, gone down that road. I think you heard Roger Turner, when I played the interview that he did at Brookings, talk about that, is that we're not interested in creating a capability where we do the work and they go along with us. We're interested in taking creating a capability in which they are capable, that they do the fighting, they do it, and we're in a mentoring role. Now, if you listen to Secretary Mattis yesterday, he talked about where we are in Afghanistan, was that we pulled our guys out at the end of the Obama administration. There was too many that left, and they left too fast. And as a result, the only mature organizations were the Afghan Special Forces units, who virtually never lose when they go to the field. All right. He talked about where they are in terms of fighting, that with the development of their own Air Force and our Air Force able to support their tactical units now, because of the ROE has been changed, no longer is the high ground safe for the Taliban in which they can dominate areas, that in fact gets them closer to getting blown up. So, but his point was, we pulled the rug out from underneath the mainstream army units when we pulled out our advisors, we pulled out our JTACs, and we left them hanging, and that we needed to remedy that. And so that's what the United States has done. So the question is, can we do this efficiently in terms of money and in terms of life? 8 Americans killed in Afghanistan this year. All right. I would tell you that's pretty efficient. That's pretty efficient. You might have higher numbers at bases for off-duty accidents than you have in Afghanistan. So, and then, but at the end of the day, what are we buying? Because the future of Afghanistan is uncertain. And I think this is important. Okay. So what are we buying? And the way I heard it articulated best was, we're buying a term insurance policy. On one hand, we're attempting, with the policy, we're attempting to develop the Afghan military. We're trying to foster stability in the Afghan government, both of which are long-term projects. At the same time, we're attempting to encourage and facilitate a negotiated settlement of the conflict between the Taliban, which is the only way it will end, right? It's a political dispute that has a military piece. It will be decided politically, because it will never go away militarily. So, knowing that those are the pieces that exist on the table today, what are we buying? And as I said, the way I heard it best articulated is, we're buying a term insurance policy. What does the future hold? Can I tell you that these actions are going to lead to this in 15 or 20 years? No, I can't. But I can tell you that while we're there, these things will happen, that a negotiated peace is more likely with our involvement than it is less likely with our involvement. Without our involvement, you will see the Taliban, you know, attempt to overrun the government. And more than likely, because it's always easier to do that and to grind a country to a halt, given the embryonic nature of Afghanistan, you would see that. So, when you evaluate the Band-Aid, here's the question for you, every one of you listening, you know, that follows this kind of stuff. Is the juice worth the squeeze? So, if you were the President of the United States, and you had this laid in front of you, your decision is, do I buy this in terms of our strategic interest, the significance of Afghanistan in the region, and the potential for it to do harm to its neighbors and to the United States, or it to be used as a staging area for other operations? Do I buy that? Do I buy that? If I buy that, then my focus has to be efficiency. That what we do there is efficient. We're not wasting money there. We're not wasting lives there. Those two specific components. If I don't buy that, then what I believe is that, you know what? The cost that we're paying in Afghanistan, we can absorb whatever damage comes out of that place. So I don't think when you look at it in the strategic sense of what is Afghanistan, I don't think the money that we spend there, and again, one life being lost is horrible. But when you're talking about the security of the nation, right, we have more lives being lost in the DOD and CONUS by multiples of what we're we've lost in Afghanistan, just to give it some kind of relative context. I think you can see how it makes sense. So if you're talking about that during the fighting season, the Taliban did this, the Taliban did that, you know, one of the things Secretary Mattis said yesterday was, hey, look, their stated goal was to drive the army, the Afghan army and police out of urban centers and take them over. He said they did none of that. He said if you look at the other stated goal was disrupt the election. The election just happened. They didn't. They weren't able to do that. He said so again. Sometimes you gotta blow the smoke out of the room before you take a hard look at that. And again, he's a hard evaluator. He's not he's not going to heap a whole bunch of frosting on it and serve it to you. So that was the only question, hard policy question, that I asked. I was trying to get people to, explain it to me, right? What don't I understand? And I'm proud to say this. I'm proud to say that I think what you have to get beyond is who's winning and losing in a fight on a given day. Does the Taliban have the ability to mass in a certain area and run the Afghan overrun an Afghan police unit? Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Can they sustain that? No, they can't. Okay, so they can fake it, right? And then they can take pictures and they can do whatever they want. But then they run, they have to run. They have to leave. They have to vacate it because they can't sustain it. So I offer you that as an explanation of why we're in Afghanistan. How does it make sense? And I've had people tell me that, Mac, you're giving these guys too many chances, blah, 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 blah. I know you know them. But, and let me tell you, that's not. Either it passes the sniff test or not, but I guess it depends on what sniff test you use. Paul Solder came on and said, if it doesn't make sense to the guys doing the fighting, then he's got a problem with it. Okay, if that's your litmus test, then I got it. Then I got it. Maybe you need to change your litmus test, though. Maybe you need, or maybe we need to better articulate it to the guys doing the fire. Hey, this is why we're here. This is what we're doing. This is what we're asking of you. And maybe we need to articulate that better. So, there you have it. What I learned about Afghanistan. And in the context of that, you can see that it's a longer term problem. There is no other nation, right, surrounded, bordered on the south by Iran. To the east is Pakistan. We don't have, we don't have another choice in the region in terms of having a bases and a strategic presence there. But that is only a piece of it, combined with the intel assessment of what would happen to it, the potential to destabilize Pakistan as a nuclear nation, yada, yada, yada. So, I thought about the explanations and I asked questions when we were talking. And everybody I talked to was very realistic in terms of this. One, we don't have another, there isn't a better course of action there. And two, the term insurance. The downside of leaving is potentially infinitely worse than the upside of staying. So you may not want to stay, and this may be a long, slow event, all right? But again, if you can do it efficiently, financially, if you can just do it efficiently, meaning Americans are not being killed there in any large numbers. That's why killing Americans is such a big deal there. Okay? If you can do that, then you have a chance to continue to use this term insurance policy until you get a political settlement in Afghanistan. And that's how it makes sense. So, there you have it. We'll check news headlines real quick. Email. Mac, what do you make of all the different celebrities getting involved? I mean, come on, that's what celebrities do, lend their names to a cause. The last election we had, the pollsters and the people that were supposedly experts, they missed all of it by not a small amount. So I don't know. I don't know. I think there's incredible interest around the country for a midterm election. Right? I think people see the country as going either in the right direction or the wrong direction. And the president is an incredibly polarizing figure. So you see more people talking about voting than I can ever recall in a midterm election. So, anyway. So, but again, I'm so tired of it. All right. Marine Corps headlines this morning. Here are a couple of areas the Marine Corps is focusing on to improve Marine performance on the battlefield. How about this? Biometric sensing, power foraging, enhancing personal equipment, and power management. These are requests for information posted by the Marine Corps Rapid Capabilities Office. They're looking to boost vision and hearing, movement, and the ability to self-sustain a unit with power without a constant resupply of batteries and energy. Power management, right? Put near the top of the list by the Commandant, General Neller. And that's the whole Elon Musk thing. Elon Musk, I mean, you know, the car company's Tesla, but the concept is advancing the concepts of storing energy around the world, which affects everybody, right? Right? At the National Defense Industrial Association event in March, the Commandant said, weight is everything. We keep putting more stuff on them. According to the request for information, the Marine Corps wants power foraging capability that is tactically viable, alternative energy solution, including solar, wind, hybrid, kinetic recovery, fuel cells, and biofuels for use at remote, austere locations by small units. Yeah, all you Star Wars geeks. Yeah, you know, all these increased, things come at a cost. And most of it is electricity. So, does your footprint get bigger or smaller? Well, we're trying to make it smaller, but it just keeps getting bigger. One of the things my lieutenant son said that didn't come out of the they had a robotic mule, but that wasn't included, he said, in any of the gear that he saw the Marine Corps buying. Headline: Marines want a ruggedized robot mule to patrol with and resupply a squad. Marines want an unmanned vehicle capable of keeping up with its rifle squad and conducting squad resupply to unburden the grunts. The system must carry between 500 and 1,000 pounds to outfit up to a 15 Marine unit. While the main objective is for the vehicle to move with the squad through inconsistent terrain, a nice bonus would be if it could manage intra-squad resupply, according to the posting. It must be able to run on rough roads and off-roads, go for between 8 hours and 3 days, fit inside an Osprey when fully loaded, and fit on a light tactical trailer in ground transport. Interesting. Yeah, you know, I mean, it was, you know, mules throughout Marine Corps history have been one of the great utility devices ever devised. They tend to be three-wheeled vehicles with one seat, a steering wheel, and then a platform. Yeah, for a squad, you know, throw your packs on that. Throw the chow on that, and then you can take this thing with you, right? And you can take it with you, and you can still move with all your gear because you're not wearing it. And nobody has to take a truck up to you to give it to you. You have this thing. So interesting. Interesting. Robots now. Two other stories real quick. The Marine Corps is buying new body armor as it works to upgrade the fit, feel, and protection of vital gear. The most significant thing the Marine Corps needs to do is lighten it. Marine Corps recently selected a Michigan-based company to provide as many as 65,000 soft armor inserts for its upgraded body armor suite. The move is one of many being made by both the Marine Corps and the Army to make body armor lighter, more resilient, fit better, and provide adjustable levels of protection for Marines and soldiers. Armor Express announced a contract award, which will include nearly $60 million of orders for as many as 1.3 million plate carrier Gen 3 soft armor inserts and data reports by October 2013. The inserts include base vest, side plate pockets, and cummerbunds. The legacy carrier fit the span of the Marine Corps, but this new system is more tailorable to fit Marines of various sizes with three new smaller stature options. The aim was to provide mobility by reducing the weight and bulk of the vest. The work shaved 25% of the weight from the vest system, according to the spokesman. This meant cutting off material from the shoulders and 1.5 inches from the bottom of the carrier. I don't care about the carrier. The carrier is not heavy. It's the plates, bro. It's the system. The new lightweight plate would protect Marines and give commanders the choice of what plate to use based on a specific mission. So now you get to carry two. The materials for plates haven't had a big technological leap, Pierce told the Marine Corps Times. Pierce is a lot of people are trying to find the next leap. That's what we need. We need the next leap. The next leap would be something made of something like aluminum that looks like aluminum, but stops bullets. Yeah, space age stuff. So, and probably too expensive right now. This DARPA program will give Army and Marine aviators a robot co-pilot. Hey, just so you know, right? We're moving closer and closer to unmanned aviation that will be the majority of flights flown. How crazy is that? And then you'll have manned aviation for specific missions. But the majority of the missions flown will be flown by remote-controlled people. We're getting there. So now you have a robot co-pilot. What? How about that? Email 2016 polls. Not really. Oh, Ohio man, I think you're wrong. I followed those polls, man. The results actually fell within the margin of error. They didn't. The difference was Trump won the squeakers in a traditionally blue Rust Belt of Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, along with it. If you looked at the polls that were published, there was only a few that got it right. And off the top of my head, I can't remember the name of the one. I want to say it's done at USC or USC or UCLA. I think maybe UCLA. But otherwise, the polls didn't reflect what happened. I mean, if you recall the dialogue post-election. And most of those polls give plus or minus 2 to 3 points. And it wasn't that close in most of the polls. So I beg to disagree with you. He did obviously win close elections in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, no doubt about that. But when in the lead up to the election, she was leading in every poll that you saw, which is why I didn't watch the election results that night. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear from Warren Jorgensen. He is a World War II Marine. So I love doing these segments, and so you'll hear another one right now. So don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next. You know what? Let me, real quick. Top five stories. Number one, deployed border troops are preparing for militias stealing their gear, protester violence, documents, according to documents released. Two, Madison Pompeo called for Yemen ceasefire. If you listen to what the Secretary of Defense said at the Peace Institute yesterday, or the day before, that's where that headline comes from. That he and the Secretary of State, and it's really interesting to hear him talk about the significance of the State Department and how just about everything that the DOD does is dovetailed and connected to the State Department. But yeah, Yemen talks about the war in Yemen in the next 30 days. Number three, President Trump, border force could grow to 15,000. You know, the latest development in here, to me, that's an absolute head-scratcher is people were demanding buses pick up these immigrants and bring them to the United States yesterday. And the Mexican government said, yeah, we're not doing that. And you see the headline, you're like, what? We demand to go. Now, somebody's going to pay to transport us. It's just like the world, and then you see the headlines that the United States has increased its legal immigration to its highest levels in years. And that when you combine legal immigration with illegal immigration, we have more immigrants coming, of all kinds, coming to the United States than we have in decades, according to the story I read. But it's just, you just read crazy, crazy stuff. And again, I don't know, if you're running for office, how do you not have a solution about, you know, about the border? You know, something you haven't heard either side bring up. The Dreamers. What happened to them? Not even a mention of them anymore. Must not be a very significant issue relative to getting elected or reelected. Number four, U.S. commander says it's time for a political solution in Afghanistan. General Miller, who was at a meeting where the head of security in the Kandahar province was murdered 2 weeks ago, is quoted as saying, U.S. troops have been, quote, more in an offensive mindset since he took over 2 months ago, a change prompted by heavy casualties among Afghan troops. But he says the U.S. acknowledges it can't win with force. My assessment is the Taliban also realize they cannot win militarily. So if you realize you can't win militarily, at some point, fighting is just people start asking why. Time for a political solution. Number five, commentary. Brazil's Bolsonaro completes a U.S. sweep of South America. Interesting comments by Secretary Mattis about, he said, you know, 2017, was a bad year for democracy. He said, you know, if you looked at the world, I'll play some audio from the Secretary of Defense here. If you looked at the world, it was a bad year for democracy. And then he said, except in Latin America, except in Central America, except in South America. He said, you know, our demand for drugs in both Europe and the United States challenges their and what he means is the money that bribes people challenges their ability to do democracy. He said, but they're holding elections and they don't know who's going to win. That is a watershed event in Latin America. So his comments were interesting. He was taken to task by reporters for not fielding questions about the border at the Peace Institute appearance. Actually, I saw one headline that called him a coward, written by some piece of shit. So here's him speaking yesterday about the border and about whether this is a political stunt or whatnot.
The support that we provide to the Secretary for Homeland Security is practical support based on the request from the Commissioner of Customs and Border Police. And so we don't do stunts in this department. Thank you. We're there in support of the Secretary of Homeland Security, who needs additional military assistance. We do this following storms. We do this in support of the Department of Homeland Security. This is a different aspect of it, but that's what we're doing.
In his own words yesterday. So the Secretary of Defense, we don't do stunts. All right, more of, you know what, and I even commented, to me, that's what it looks like. If you look at how far these people are from the United States, I mean, what are they, 1,200 miles still? Something like that. To me, it looked like the president was using the DOD as some kind of a stunt. So, according to the Secretary of Defense, take him at his word. It ain't that way. All right. You're going to hear from Warren Jorgensen. I think that's his last name. Coming up next on a Thursday edition of Ballmarine Radio on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.